Hold on 1 second.
No problem. Well, we've had a preliminary update from the Treasury. What I'd say to you is the numbers have deteriorated a little bit since the PREFU, and so while the position is worse, I wouldn't describe it as Armageddon. So we'll be working our way through those numbers. We've instructed the Treasury that we'd like a half-year economic update, and we'll be having those numbers and ultimately issuing a budget policy statement on the back of that in December.
The cheques that you wrote before the election, are you confident you'll be able to cash them now?
We are confident that we'll be able to meet our election promises, and the reason for that is that they were fully costed and fully funded. Obviously, you know, we'll be sticking to our $1.75 billion new budget spend, but we're quite comfortable we can meet those commitments.
You weren't surprised by anything they had to tell you this afternoon?
No, I mean, we've asked them to present a couple of options to us. So one is their sort of best guess, if you like, and then we've asked them to stress test that and give us a sort of worst case scenario. So they presented us effectively three sets of numbers today: the PREFU numbers, the numbers that represented what they think they'll be, and what they think the weaker scenario will be.
So in all those cases, does the tax cut package from next April make sense then?
It does. In fact, if anything, the point the Treasury made was that they think that the tax cuts will come at exactly the right time. They've indicated what our stimulus package looks like relative to other countries in the OECD, and they believe that it makes sense. They've also had a look at our costings, and in broad terms they said, you know, they're comfortable that our costings
Treasury
are great.
Treasury forecasts have been wildly out before. Are you more confident now that they'll be in line?
Look, there's an enormous number of imponderables and variables there. One of those is global growth. So that's when I asked them about what are the parameters underpinning the weaker scenario, the answer is global growth that they're a little unsure about. And obviously one of the purposes of going to APEC is to get, you know, as best a handle as we can on what's happening from a global perspective and what the outlook from other countries is.
So basically, are they more pessimistic than they were at the PREFU?
They are more pessimistic, but I wouldn't describe it as Armageddon.
What's the deficit looking like now then?
Bigger.
How much bigger?
those numbers we'll present for you in December.
Is it about $1 billion, like the economists have predicted?
I don't want to put numbers on it, Paula. I just think it's...
tell us where the deterioration's occurred.
Well, it's in the obvious areas of the economy. So, you know, to a certain degree, it's construction and those kind of places that you would expect. But, in broad terms, you know, I believe we're on exactly the right track. I think our fiscal plans of a stimulus program are right. I think the one other point I'd make is that we have a significant advantage over other countries in a funny kind of way, and that is because our interest rates are relatively speaking, still so high. It's not just the government that might be able to act here, but monetary policy, you know, presents a lot of alternatives or a potential upside for us if the Reserve Bank decides to cut rates. And you can assume if that weaker scenario is anything like what it could be, then you will see significant rate cuts in New Zealand.
No sense that you need to do more in terms of stimulus package than what you've already outlined?
Well, the way I think we'd like to approach that is we've got the view that we'll get the half-year update at the end of the year. We're going to APEC to see, you know, what's happening internationally and to take stock of what other countries are doing, and it's at that point that we're likely to be able to indicate whether we think there's a need to do other things.
How worried are you about jobs now?
Well, the unemployment numbers are kicking up a bit on the data that we've seen. But again, you know, we're hopeful. I mean, these are predictions, and we're hopeful we can do the best that we can, and we're going to work as hard as we can to preserve the maximum number
of
jobs.
Looking worse as well?
A little bit worse, yeah.
Given your interest in the tourism industry, it's taken a bit of a hit so far. How concerned are you for that sector?
Well, I am concerned because obviously what's driving that is both domestic and international tourism, and international tourist numbers are down on the back of weaker international economy and weaker markets internationally. Obviously our exchange rate coming down will help us a bit, but there's no question, given that it controls 1 in 10 jobs in the economy, it's a big sector. And one of the reasons why I'll be taking that portfolio is, firstly, I think it makes a lot of sense for the Prime Minister to actually have some responsibility in the real economy. That way you keep connected with the real economy. But also, secondly, it's a big supplier of jobs in the economy.
Who are you taking to APEC with you?
I am going to take John Whitehead, the Secretary Treasury. I think that's appropriate. So that'll be occurring. So will Martin Weaver's, obviously the head of DPMC. And there's a number of business people that were already on the list. I think there's about 12 of them.
No other politicians?
Well, there'll be Murray McCulley, obviously, and our trade minister.
It appears to come to some kind of agreement with the Māori Party this afternoon?
Yeah, the situation I described there, firstly, the meeting was a continuation of the meeting we had the day earlier. It was a warm and constructive meeting. There is what I would describe as the basis of an agreement that they've now taken away for their hui. And the indications I have is that we should be able to give you a firm commitment on Sunday about whether we've reached agreement with the Māori Party.
Are there seats at the Cabinet table for Māori?
I think you can assume that's the case.
What, inside or outside?
Outside.
Seats? Plural?
Well, wait and see how that goes. But you can assume there is, you know, there's ministerial responsibility.
Is there an agreement in relation to legislation on foreshore seabed and retention of the seats, or to discuss that further? Or?
Well, assuming we were in a position to reach agreement with them, then obviously we'd release the document that we'll have signed, and you'll see the areas that spans and the proposals that we have. I'm not going to comment on them at this point. Well, as I say, there's a wide range of issues that are debated, but I'm not going to cover them at this point. At this stage, we haven't signed an agreement or reached an agreement, but if we do on Sunday, then we'll come
to the position hasn't moved on those conditions.
Were members of your own caucus with an interest in Māori affairs consulted over this, or are they happy with the deal that you've given to the Māori Party?
Well, they obviously know clearly that we've been having discussions with them, and I think they would welcome a relationship between the National Party and the Māori Party, and what the intention of that is, which is it's at one level a party-to-party relationship, but it's a much broader issue of achieving better outcomes for Māori and New Zealanders, and on that front they would be supportive of what we're doing.
Has the Māori Party been pushing for a partnership in terms of treaty terms at a government level?
Well, I think it's a partnership between the two parties and a relationship based on trust.
Is it fair to assume that the Māori First Minister will be a National Party politician?
I don't want to make any assumptions on
that. That's in Cabinet,
I mean. I don't want to make any assumptions on that.
Has any discussion been around social welfare portfolio going to, say, Peter Sharples?
Don't want to comment on the individual details.
But they'll back you on confidence and supply, but be free to vote on other issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to characterise the structure of all of the agreements that we're trying to reach with ACT United and the Māori Party are all the same. They are all of the similar basis of the 2005 New Zealand First Agreement, and they, I think it's fair to assume they would all have ministers outside of Cabinet for partners that support us in confidence and supply.
Now that you've come to an agreement with the Māori Party in terms of what the framework is, are you expecting to be talking further to Rodney Hyde and the ACT Party?
Yeah, we've had discussions. Those discussions have been continuing in the last 24 hours. I think they're constructively moving forward.
When will you next see them?
I'm not sure, but there has been quite a lot of dialogue between the two parties in the last 24 hours, and it is moving forward. It's progressing.
Are you confident having now 70 seats supporting you?
I'll be able to give you a better answer then on Sunday. But look, it's moving in the right direction.
You're obviously trying to get things wrapped up by Sunday. Is there a deadline for the Māori Party to come back with
you? Well, to the best indication we've had from them, they seem confident that they'll be able to give us a decision, therefore we'll be able to give you, a decision to the New Zealand people, whether we've reached agreement with them or not on Sunday. And it would be my intention at this point to have a press conference on Sunday afternoon.
It seems likely that some of the details are going to emerge over the next few days, which is consultations. I mean, is the public going to be surprised at concessions that have been made?
I don't think so.
Sure, Goff today made some comments about the electoral finance.
My older brother.
Yeah, wiser older brother.
That's right.
What did you make about his comments about the Electoral Finance Act, that it might, he recognises now that it needs some work?
Well, a little bit difficult to reconcile with the comments he made I think it was back in 2007 when he was arguing that we didn't understand democracy. But
you think he's doing a flip-flop?
I would say so. But look, what I can just say on that front is that we'll be honouring our commitment to repeal the Electoral Finance Act while preserving, initially at least, the donations legislation. And when we do go and undertake that work, we'll be consulting fully with other parties in the way that we believed Labor should have consulted with us. We believe electoral finance legislation is owned by the parties or the parliament, not by an individual party.
Just looking back to the economic stuff, the half-yearly update, the December update, along with the BPS. They'll be together, will they?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Christmas reading for you.